Today on Uncommon Stories, we will belly up to the bar, chat with our friendly bartender, order our favorite pint of brew, and munch on some salty snacks as we find out how beer and pretzels were first created and what makes them the perfect combination to enjoy and wind down from a busy day. There are all kinds of beers from all over the world. Some of the most popular are lager, ale, pilsner, India Pale Ale, porter, and stout. But lately, with all the microbreweries popping up, you can make a beer just about any way you want. You can even brew your own style right at home. And whether it is a celebration, a party, watching your favorite sporting event, or just a casual gathering at the local watering hole, a tall, cold glass of beer is a refreshing way to enjoy some downtime. And judging by beer sales on a yearly basis, people all over the world enjoy downtime with their favorite brew a lot. But do you know how much beer your average person in the U.S. drinks in a year? And for extra credit, can you name the U.S. state that has the highest average of beer drinking in a year per person? Think about it, and we'll see if you're right at the end of our story. Well, when you think about beer, you think Germany, England, and Bavaria. But you might be surprised to learn that the origins of beer started a lot further back than when these countries started brewing beer. The first known brewed beverage was created by the Sumerians in southern Mesopotamia in 10,000 BC, and they were probably originally created by accident. The only real evidence this culture left behind from their brewed beverage were malted barley scraps and bowls with beer-like residue. This residue is most likely the remains of porridge made from grains that were naturally fermented with wild yeast. As minute as it is, this evidence is enough to conclude that the Sumerians were active in the creation of a fermented beverage that produced an intoxicating effect. And thus, beer was born. And like most early civilizations, they attributed their good fortune for having this concoction to a deity, the goddess of beer, Ninkiasi, and they celebrated her by drinking, or more like eating their beer, during ceremonies in her honor. This beer porridge became a staple of the Sumerians' diet due to its nutrient-rich makeup and being far safer than the contaminated water supply from nearby rivers. So credit the Sumerians for starting the fine art of brewing. But the Sumerians had another first attributed to its beer making, the straw. Since the porridge was rather thick, Sumerians used reeds or wood to make straws to drink their beer. However, for nobility and the wealthy, they would have their straws made out of precious metals. That's a pretty impressive, expensive luxury to have. I'm guessing that drinking this beer porridge would be similar for us to sip a heavy milkshake through a straw today. And this beer drinking with a straw is the first evidence of a civilization to use a straw to drink a beverage, albeit a heavy, thick beverage. So brewing and drinking beer has started, but there was still a lot more on the way before beer became the cool, refreshing beverage we know today. The next society known for brewing beer was the Babylonians, and they took beer making very seriously. Beer was considered divine, and like the Sumerians, the Babylonians believed their beer was a gift from the gods. Beer masters in this great city became well-versed in making beer, and soon, around 3000 BC, they were making 20 different types of beer. Any brewmaster from today would be impressed with this number of beers brewed, especially considering early societies didn't have anything like the modern conveniences we have today to produce beer. Interestingly, beer became so valuable in Babylon that people were sometimes paid for their work with beer instead of money. And in the ancient laws, known as the Code of Hammurabi, there were a set of laws to establish daily beer rations to the citizens. Thus, every citizen was given their portion of beer each day based on his or her wealth. I wonder if that would go over today. Even though Babylonian brewers were experts in their field, there was no filtration system in the beer-making process, so the beer in this city during this time was fairly thick, similar to the porridge the Sumerians made. And this porridge, too, was a little difficult to drink. So, just as the Sumerians, the Babylonians also used straws. to make beer drinking a little easier. So now we have ancient expert brewers creating many different beers, and we have a system using straws to drink beer. Well, what more do we need? Better taste. And that is where the ancient Egyptians came in. Egyptians from 1500 BC were excellent brewers and were constantly working on brewing better tasting beer. They added many flavoring agents, such as grains, honey, dates, pomegranates, herbs, and whatever they found that was edible, they thought would enhance the flavor of their beer. There was no other civilization during this time that idolized beer, or zittim, one of the words they used for beer, as much as the ancient Egyptians. They even had a favorite beer, haket, or hek, a honey-flavored beer. And they left us a document that spelled out their brewing process on papyrus scrolls dated to around 5000 BC, far earlier than when they actually mastered the craft. Known for their religious ceremonies and elaborate social functions, Egyptians originally used their beer for celebrations. And just as their Mesopotamian beer-drinking neighbors, they created a beer goddess, Tenenet, which was derived from Tenenamu, another word for beer in the Egyptian language. But even though ceremonies were the initial reason to drink beer, it wasn't long before it was an everyday drink. And like Sumerians and Babylonians, Egyptians often paid their workers with beer. The workers at the Giza Plateau received beer rations 3 times a day, and workers on the Nile were paid in beer. It was that valuable in the civilization, just like the others. Much like other earlier conveniences, beer was found in the tombs of pharaohs, so they could enjoy the taste of their favorite beverage in the afterlife. The early civilizations created beer, became masters of brewing many beers, and improved upon its taste. But how did it get to the rest of the world, most notably Europe? Surprisingly, two unlikely empires were the catalysts. Ancient Greece and Rome were famous for their wines, but beer made its way to these empires through trade routes from Egypt and the Middle East. However, a drink made from grains was not going to beat out the fruity taste of Greek and Roman wines, especially among the upper echelon. For the nobles and members of these high societies, beer was beneath them, and a drink they considered barbaric and only fit for the lower class. But breweries were established nonetheless, and although beer was mostly consumed by the working classes, it eventually became a fairly popular drink, although mainly on the outskirts of these great empires. However, Roman soldiers found beer to their liking, especially during long military missions. As such, they introduced beer to Northern Europe, and beer took on another metamorphosis once it became popular in the old country. During the Middle Ages, beer became popular to brew in monasteries all across Europe, and monks became very adept at brewing beer. In fact, that is how many monasteries survived the Dark Ages. Monks brewed a very nutritious version of beer, and as it helped the monks to sustain themselves during tough times, they were also able to sell their beer to townspeople who were looking for reasonably priced nourishment during the time. Monks used the money to keep their monasteries going, and townspeople were able to supplement their diet with beer. It worked well for everyone. On an interesting note, monks often drank up to 5 liters of beer a day, a pretty hefty amount, but it didn't stop them from their chores or ministry. Monks were pretty stout individuals. No pun intended. Around 1000 AD, brewers began adding an ingredient that was readily available throughout Europe, hops. And beer brewing would never be the same. Hops improved on the taste of beer and helped to make it far less bitter. And once this method of brewing beer was perfected, the beer we know and love today was created. By as early as 800 BC, the Germans were brewing beer, which they called ale. But it wasn't until the 13th century AD when beer production increased enough to produce it commercially. England and Austria also began brewing beer commercially during this time, but it was the Germans that set the standard for most beer makers in Europe. Their beer was purer and had a better taste. Beer had its ups and downs throughout the next few centuries, mainly due to political control of countries and regions, but it was always there, and always made a comeback whenever it had a downturn. the 19th century produced one of the last major breakthroughs for the brewing process, discovered by Louis Pasteur, the use of yeast for fermentation. This marked the single biggest discovery to allow for consistent beer brewing. Wild yeasts in the air were primarily used before to promote spontaneous fermentation, but during this period, brewers would add yeast cultivated specifically for beer brewing earlier in the process. Beer brewing had reached its pinnacle. It was also during the 19th century that one of the most famous beer celebrations was born. And oddly, the festival featured mostly wine. Prince Regent Ludwig of Bavaria, who later became King Ludwig I, and Princess Theresa of Saxony, Hildenbergelsen, were married on October 17, 1810, in Munich. The couple invited all of the citizens to the gates of the city to celebrate and enjoy a huge horse race. And to this day, Germans, as well as other countries, annually celebrate this event as Oktoberfest. Another interesting story regarding beer is the landing of the Mayflower. As the story goes, the Mayflower had been blown off course, and instead of being near the newly created Virginia settlement, they were further north in what is now Massachusetts. Supplies were running low, and the sailors refused to sail any further until they had their fill of one of the most important staples of the English diet, beer. Yes, beer was an important beverage to the English. You'd think water would be, but water was not filtered as it is today. And due to bacteria, many times people would get very ill when they drank it. Beer, on the other hand, could be kept in barrels for a long period of time without major germs developing. So one of the most important historical events in the U.S., the landing of the Mayflower at Plymouth Rock, happened mainly due to the fact the Pilgrims had to make a beer run. It was a long time coming, but today we enjoy beer at restaurants, bars, sporting events, picnics, concerts, and more. And we can take our pick from hundreds of brews. But while we sip on this refreshing, intoxicating beverage, what should we eat with it? Let's find out. There are many good choices when it comes to picking a snack to go with your beer. Wings are very popular, as are peanuts, beer nuts, nachos, and spicy jalapeno poppers. But there is one snack that blends just right with the taste of beer, with its salty topping and doughy center. The ever-popular pretzel. And I'm speaking of the large dough pretzels like you'd find in a mall or buy from a vendor on the streets of New York. Many bars will have the small, crunchy pretzels, and they work well for that salt and beer mix. But there is just something about a large, doughy pretzel that hits the spot with a tall, cold brew. But where did they come from? Unfortunately, that's not an easy question to answer, as historians are at odds as to which story is true regarding the ancestry of the pretzel. So as not to take one side over the other, we'll find out the three most popular stories, and you can decide which one you like best. Even though historians can't come together on the origin of the pretzel, they do all agree that the soft, twisted bread does have religious roots in its creation. One theory is that the Vatican has a 5th century manuscript that documents the first pretzel. But most sources date the snack to 100 years later, to 1610 BC, when in a northern Italian or southern French monastery, a monk would reward his students who learned their prayers with a baked piece of twisted leftover bread. It is said that the crossed bread in the center resembled the traditional prayer pose, and most who knew of this monk's reward system considered it more of a joke than anything else. The funny-looking bread was called pretola, which in Latin means little rewards. Also, the theory is that the monk said the three holes in the pretola presented the Holy Trinity. Whether all of this is true or not, it is believed that the pretzel does go back to the Catholic Church. The next story, which also includes monks, have them distributing pretzels to the poor as a religious symbol that also gave them nourishment. As this became popular, the bready snack became a sign of fulfillment, good fortune, and prosperity. And from here, it began to be used in medieval art as a symbol of luck. The third story is dated to the 16th century, where bakers who were experimenting with new styles of bread saved Vienna from Ottoman Turks. in 1529, in an effort to take over Vienna, the Ottomans dug tunnels under the city during the night, as to surprise the military and take control of Vienna. However, bakers in the monastery basement working diligently on a twisted-shaped bread they just came up with heard the digging and alerted the city leaders and military. The attack was prevented, and the city was saved. As a reward for their assistance, the bakers were given their very own coat of arms, which features two fierce lions holding a pretzel with a crown on top. This coat of arms still hangs over the doorway of many bakers in Europe today. Regardless of which story is true, if any, and how much might be true, the country we can really thank for the popularity of the pretzel is Germany. And since Germany, as mentioned earlier, is the country that Europe modeled their beer brewing after, it's no surprise that pretzels are a traditional favorite snack to eat with beer. And if you are ever in Germany, I highly recommend that you tour the country to sample their many beers, as well as the many ways they serve their very popular snack, the pretzel. All of them sound so amazing. So, have you thought about our question? How much beer does your average person in the U.S. drink in a year? In the U.S., your average person will consume 28.2 gallons of beer in a year. That's 2.35 gallons per month and 0.075 gallons per day. Not too bad per person, but it never hurts to moderate one's drinking. Now, which state has the highest average of beer drinking per person per year? It's North Dakota, with a pretty high average of 45.8 gallons per year. That's 3.81 gallons per month and 0.127 gallons per day. But remember, North Dakota isn't one of our more heavily populated states, so it makes sense that the average would be a little higher. And it's cold up there during the winter. I'm guessing there aren't a lot of outside activities during the cold months, so sitting inside next to a warm fire with a brewski just might be pretty popular, and something people in other states might like to do on a cold day as well. Well, there we have it. I hope you've enjoyed this edition of Uncommon Stories, and come back next time to listen to more interesting, surprising, thought-provoking, and entertaining stories that are true, but probably are just uncommon. I'm Brad Greer for Uncommon Stories, wishing everyone a wonderful week, and thanks for listening.